Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Rich Galen is with us. Rich is our good friend. He is the publisher, editor, writer, and chief accountant over at Mullings.com, which is a cyber column that he publishes thrice weekly. And I encourage you to check out at Mullings.com. He's a political operative of the Republican persuasion. His credentials go all the way back many decades, including some service with former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. And these days, he's just basically reports on all the nonsense that goes on up there for the most part. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Rich, right now, the Congress is taking up a financial industry reform bill. And as they're doing this, I can't help but think about in 2002, the Sarbanes-Oxley debate that, as you remember, began and ended with a bill in like 60 days,
right.
which is as scary a thing as anybody could ever imagine, the government doing anything that would be quality in 60 days. And as we now know, Sarbanes-Oxley is basically did more damage than it did good, as I predicted in those days. And I have that same eerie feeling about this particular legislation. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, when you go all the way back to the foundation of the country, the founding fathers, as we like to say, there is a reason that they made it so bloody difficult for the Congress to get anything done. And that's because even then they understood that fast laws were likely to be bad laws. And that's proven to be the case over the last 200 plus years. But every so often the Congress gets, as we say, its knickers in a twist and decides something has to happen right this very second. And in this particular instance, there is a continuing pattern in the United States Senate, especially in the House. It's always been like this. In the House, whoever has one more vote gets everything. The Senate, because there's only 100 senators, has been much more of a deliberative kind of organization, but under Harry Reid, it really has been acting much more like the House of Representatives. I have more votes than you, so you don't get to play in our sandbox at all. And I think this financial reform bill that's kind of hanging out there that did not get the necessary 60 votes yesterday is another example where it would have been perfectly acceptable to have real live, no kidding around, negotiations between the two sides, kind of hammer it out, and however long it took, and then come up with something that makes some sense, because I think everybody agrees that something ought to be done, however small or large, especially for institutions that taxpayers are on the hook for.
This is a very popular bill. I mean, the idea of financial reform for Wall Street is a very popular bill. Unlike healthcare, it's very popular. And so this would be a good kind of a bill, as you say, to take the time on to get it right as much as they can, as much as Congress can get it right, and for it to be something that feel like their government came together on and solved.
Yes, absolutely. And it would, as I said, it would have been just as easy to have done it that way, but Harry Reid is first and foremost a political animal. He's in huge trouble. He's up for re-election this fall.
Yeah,
a third, as your listeners know, a third of the Senate is up for election every 2 years, whereas all of the House of Representatives is up for election. This happens to be, as we say in Washington, Harry Reid is in cycle this cycle, and he's in huge trouble. So he's looking for things like immigration, like financial reform that will help him back home. And I think, actually, that's one of the reasons you see moderates like Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe of Maine, who often break from Republican orthodoxy, siding with Republicans on these things because it's not just ideology; it's really kind of the backbone of the Senate that's being pretty badly bent by the way the Democrats are acting. And the problem is that once one side does this, when the other side ultimately gets back into control, as they will at some point, they say, "Well, they did it, so let's us do it too."
And this is the thing that's so bad about the way politics have gotten these days, folks, is that something that probably should be done is being used as a political football. When we come back after these messages, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how this little episode that's happened recently is really probably nothing more than a political, just a football play that's being made in the grand scheme of election year politics. It's 22. Right back with Rich Gaylor. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there that will help you in your small business. Start, run, grow it. Whatever you got on your mind, whatever's going on in your small business world, whatever color the sky is in your small business world, you can find something there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, you can find me there and follow me there at Jim Blassingame. Rich Gaylor is our guest. He's our good friend. And Rich is the publisher of the writer of Mullings.com, the thrice weekly cyber column that I encourage you to check out. As I've said many times before, if you're a Republican, you're going to want to hear what Rich has to say and like it. I think if you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. Rich, we're talking about the financial reform bill that's being bannered about in the Senate at this moment. And, you know, it's something that I've said many times, you've heard me say before, that is that in the Olympic sport of politics, Republicans are not as good. They're just not as good as Democrats are. And that's not a slander of either one of them. I think that's just my opinion. And when I look at the fact that the health care bill was unpopular with the citizenry, and the Republicans weren't able to score any points there, the financial reform bill is seemingly very popular, and it seems like the Democrats are having their way with the Republicans on that issue. Am I wrong about that?
Well, in terms of scoring points, if you mean the vote, you are correct. They couldn't get it stopped largely because the Democrats were smarter about using, if not abusing, the rules of the House and the Senate to get it done.
Well, don't you agree that this little abort that we've just had this week was actually perfectly played by the Democrats?
Oh yeah, and it's going to happen again. I mean, they have said out loud that there'll probably be another vote, yet this week on exactly the same bill and make Republicans once again decide to stop it.
Because the Republicans are voting, because the average American says, yeah, I want Wall Street, I want them tarred and feathered, I want them whipped and, you know, whatever, they cause all this, and I kind of agree with them on that. But that's what they understand, the complicated issue they're dealing with in Washington, though. When the Republicans vote against it, it sounds like they're not in favor of it.
Oh, absolutely. That's why the Democrats openly say we're going to make the Republicans vote on this as many times as we have to,
and vote against it.
But one of the differences is, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist on this. It is just true that the way Republicans are covered and the way Democrats are covered in the mainstream press are two different things. I mean, if Republicans were doing this and being as politically cynical about it as the Democrats have been, both in terms of not allowing, you know, a free debate an open amendment effort, and talked openly about making the Democrats vote on this for political gain, they'd be pilloried in the press. But when the Democrats do it, it's just, well, you know, the Republicans deserve it, and too bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rich, this financial reform bill is you and I agree, and I think most people agree that there were some loopholes that got missed that something needs to be done to tighten up some of the loopholes on Wall Street. But what troubles me about all this is the overarching attitude of anti-business that I seem to feel in America right now. And from a small business standpoint, this is what bothers me about this kind of politics. It seems as if, I mean, Lloyd Blankfein is going to, the Goldman Sachs guy is going to be in front of Congress, in front of the Senate, I guess, this week. And he's going to be treated like a stepchild. They're going to beat him up so bad. And some of the things, maybe he deserves it, but there just seems to be this overarching attitude of anti-business that I'm feeling. Are you feeling that? Are you seeing what I'm talking about?
Yes, and that's why you're seeing the Europeanization of America, where the anti-business feeling has gone on for a long time. Where the feeling is, it's up to the government to protect us against business, which is 180 degrees different from the way America has been operating and has thrived over at least the last 150 years, and maybe further back than that. But you're exactly right. I mean, and you were talking to another guest on a different segment about the myth of job security,
mm-hmm.
And now you look at Greece, which has to be bailed out. You know, in Greece, it is a law that if you work for 12 months, you have to be paid for 14 months. You get a two-month bonus. Every worker gets a two-month bonus. Well, you can't sustain.
You can't operate like that.
Who can do that? Nobody
can. And as we now know, those cows have come home to roost. Those chickens have come home to roost.
And it's going to happen in Italy. It's going to happen in Spain. It's going to happen in Portugal.
Right.
And as I've said publicly, you know, America is one failed treasury auction away from being Greece.
Right.
Nobody can bail us out. And it's not because they don't believe that we're going to pay the bonds back. We will. But at some point, the world just runs out of money.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That's the next thing that could happen. But, you know, Rich, I'm still not seeing any leadership from Washington that's supporting grassroots Main Street American businesses.
No,
I'm still not feeling anything. There's no leadership. It's like nobody in Washington really understands where the real jobs come from in America.
They say it, and they love to use it as part of a stump speech. Everybody says it's the small business, the backbone of America. And then when you look and say, well, okay, what are you doing for us? Well, excuse me, I have to go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the reason, I think, Jim, that the Goldman Sachs's of the world, if that's the plural of Goldman, if there is a plural of Goldman Sachs, are looked at with such disdain because they were treated specially, and AIG was treated.
Hold on, Rich. I got to take a quick break, folks. Tintel, right back with Rich Galen. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Rich Galen is our guest. His website is mullings.com, mullings.com. I hope you'll check it out. Rich, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, is that right?
Yeah, Monday,
a cycle?
Tonight's the writing night for me.
He'll send it to you by email, and you'll get it every 3 times a week. I hope you check out his cyber column there at mullings.com. Rich, quickly, because I want to move on to something else. We'll get a financial reform bill when the leadership in the Senate feels that they have played the Republicans whenever they're through with the Republicans and they're ready to pass a bill, they'll pass a bill. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are. And what Republicans should be doing is saying, and they're trying to say it, they're just not breaking through because there's so much going on. But what the Republicans should be saying is we have a bill that we've been negotiating, and Harry Reid yanked it off the table because he wanted a Democrat only bill, until he agrees to negotiate openly, we're not going to go for this thing, and because they now have 41 votes, they can stop it.
Yeah, okay. I want to move on to the to the deficit, I guess national debt, I guess deficit commission, is that what they're calling it?
Yeah,
Erskine Bowles is leading it along with Alan Simpson. Former Bowles is former Clinton operative. Alan Simpson is a Republican senator from Wyoming. Is that right?
I believe that's correct. And Bowles was a former. He ran for U.S. Senate, I think,
right,
against Elizabeth Bowles.
Simpson is one of the most colorful, statesmanlike, and I'm not just saying it, you know, folks. People of all walks, political walks of life, feel that Alan Simpson is one of our national treasures, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's a throwback to what we were saying earlier. That's the way the Senate used to be.
Right,
They used to have a, not everybody was an Alan Simpson, but you had a lot of him in the Senate, and they could get along very well and kind of work through a lot of these issues.
And Bowles is a very smart guy, very smart political operative, and I don't know much about him, though. And so my question is, how do you think that – do you think that little couple there will get anything? Now, they've got a commission. They've got a number of folks on there, but they're the two leaders. Simpson's out of retirement now to work on this thing. What do you think they'll accomplish?
I think nothing is the short answer to that.
Because they have to have a report by the 1st of December.
Right, and it's not enough time to do anything. And that's number one. Number two is – the idea of a deficit commission is nothing more nor less than a retreat from responsibility by the administration and the Congress, because this is their job. And nobody wants to say we need to cut this program by this amount because they're afraid they'll get beaten.
So this is a straw man.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, but I'm not a lawyer, much less a constitutional scholar, but this will run afoul of the separation of powers in the Constitution, I absolutely am sure.
Because it's
an administration, it's an executive branch commission, and the executive branch is not supposed to be doing things that the legislative branch is supposed to be doing. And my guess is, if I had to bet a quarter right now, I would bet that if they say we need to raise taxes and do all these other things, and the Congress says, okay, we have to do that because they said we have to do it, it'll fail.
But aren't there have been lots of commissions over the years?
Well, I mean, I think the BRAC commission is an unconstitutional as well. That's the base closing commission.
Right.
But it's the same kind of thing there, Jim, that the members of Congress didn't have the you-know-whats to be able to stand up and say, the base in my district is no longer necessary for the national.
And therefore I'm closing it.
And we have to close it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. They punted to this commission. And the way that they did it was to say, to write the law that created the commission, and I don't think there is a law that creates this. That's what I mean. It's an executive branch thing. They couldn't get the law passed, but BRAC is a law. They said we have to take it or leave the whole package, so that members could say, well, you know, I wish we could have saved this. I tried so very hard.
So once again, what you're saying is, and we're talking about the political class here, folks, not Republicans or Democrats.
Exactly.
It's a political class. What you're saying again is there is a complete lack of leadership in Washington.
I think we've been going this way, and we've dumbed down the leadership class, the political leadership
class. And this is the new norm.
Yeah, and this is it's exactly right. It's very difficult because I'm not sure at what point you.
We have to demand more from the populace.
Yeah, and
the voters have got to demand more. That's what we've got to do in November, regardless of who we vote for.
Yeah, it's got to say you have to be able to stand up and make difficult choices on my behalf. Because I don't get to go up there. I don't get to go to the Congress and make a vote. I'm paying you.
It's got to come from us, ladies and gentlemen. Rich Galen will keep us posted on these things as we go through the year. Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you very much.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Check it out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.